World Soccer Talk Radio. Coming back in with the Sex Pistols here on Sports Byline. Call us 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. My name is Nate Abarea. Tweet me at Nate WST. Love mail, hate mail, questions, or you need to get something off your chest. Have at it. And at World Soccer Talk on the Twitter sphere and at Sports Byline USA for updates on this fine program, World Soccer Talk Radio. And privileged to be joined now by ESPN's Janusz Michalik, a U.S. national team veteran and a voice of soccer in this country for a couple of decades now. Janusz, great to have you on. How you doing, sir?
How's it going, Nate? Great to be on.
Oh, it's going very, very well. Let's get right into this. Kartik Krishnayer and yours truly talked about this in last night's show. We use the term smoke screens when it comes to some stuff going on in Major League Soccer and the 20th anniversary that we're supposed to be celebrating here. And I got a lot of flack on the Twitter sphere and even from a few friends who were listening to the show last night. And I just want to pose this to you. This is just a really an interesting topic, and it's something that relates to those smoke screens that we talk about. We get told over and over and over again how far Major League Soccer has come, the growth of not only soccer in this country in general, but the league itself and the quality on the field. We hear all about the growth of the quality on the field. And I got to ask you, Janusz, as someone who played in this league back in the original few seasons, do you think Major League Soccer, the quality on the field, do you think it's really better now than it was in the early days?
That's a dangerous topic. I picked a good show to be on. How do I massage this? Of course, I'll be a little bit biased in this one, of course. You know, it's a sort of conversation that I had, you know, I usually have with my father, who's played, you know, at the highest level many years ago. You know, he'll tell me that Pelé is the best by far, and Beckenbauer, you know, and I'll make my case for Messi's and, you know, maybe Ronaldo's in some way. Different eras, so it's difficult to compare them. Although I'm with you, I don't think that in terms of technique, you know, and tactics to some degree, you always have to talk about that, right? The four pillars of our sport, you know, you have the psychological and physical, right? So we have four. Three out of four, I don't think that the league has progressed that far. You know, I think you remember those days, and I could easily make the case of looking at some of the players that we've had and some of the teams like DC United that were outstanding and, in fact, unplayable in those days. And, Bruce was part of that. Now he's got LA Galaxy. He has as much success as he's had at DC. And, you know, those are good players, but there are some spectacular players. If you look at Marco Echeverri, Diaz Arce, Jaime Moreno, and, you know, that team with Jeff Agus and Richie Williams, unbelievable. I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to show me a team like this right now. And, you know, we have to remember, of course, that, the finances were much different in our days. They weren't as good as they are right now. There's some quality players coming in. I think I'm a big proponent of Major League Soccer for a couple of reasons. And you may know that, you know, some listeners may as well, but, you know, I mean, when I got on the national team in 1990 through 94, we had no league. You know, our national team was a club team for the most part, really. You know, we had to be together. You know, we were moved to California, and we train every day, and we were like Harlem, you know, Globetrotters, you know, going all over the world looking for games, quality games. And before that, when I came here, you know, from Europe, where I was in the Polish junior national team and, you know, part of a normal club structure, if you will, you know, I've probably gone through, I don't know how many leagues that have folded, you know, and I was playing indoors, you know, yeah. Which was great, by the way. You know, the old MISL was unbelievable, but it was still an indoor game, now outdoor game. So I give MLS tons of credit because, you know, I have to tell you honestly that I was somewhat skeptical in 1996. I didn't think, to be honest, if you asked me then, that the league was going to last 20 years. And maybe that's a little bit of, you know, maybe I'm cynical, or maybe I just learned through all the leagues that have gone. So, but in terms of playing, I think technically there are a number of teams, number of players. Just look at the players around MLS right now, being in the coaching positions, or be it in if you will, position of power, the general managers or the director of coaching. Those are some great, you know, every team has them. The Burns is the John Doyle, the Chris Hendersons, you're probably going to have to help me, but they're everywhere, and they're quality players. I look at my, you know, when you look at my Columbus Crew team in that first year, I mean, think about it. Robert Vazquez, Brian Bliss, Brian McBride, Brad Friedel. I mean, it's just names after names after names, and you know, stop me if you feel you need to, but you know, I still don't think, for example, even now we have the strikers like Brian McBride or Eric Winalda, for that matter.
It's an interesting point that you bring up, Yanish, and it's exactly what I'm kind of getting at. And I mean, we think of names like Carlos Valderrama, Eric Winalda. I mean, Misael Espinosa was one of my first favorite players as a young San Jose Clash supporter, and Raul Diaz Arce was someone you brought up who actually came and played in San Jose a few years later. And these were world-class strikers that were coming to the league in the early days. And obviously, there's so many different things that go in to these generational comparisons, but you know, I'm in the camp that I believe, and this transitions into what I want to talk to about next. And you talk about dangerous topics, so I mean, we got into this in depth yesterday, yours truly and Kartik Krishnayer, and that is the question of, does Major League Soccer, do Don Garber and the people in his office owe a little bit more to the folks who were there at the beginning? And I'm speaking about everybody from the players that we're bringing up to the coaches, the broadcasters, the reporters, the fans in what were quite frankly mostly empty football stadiums in many cases, because we're hearing all about this 20th anniversary and we're supposed to gather around this 20th anniversary cake and blow out the candles and hold each other's hands. But there's part of me that goes, wait, I don't think MLS respects its own history. And I think that there's a huge facet of fans who are new to this league, and if Don Garber were to have his way, he would make sure that those new fans aren't aware of those things we called shootouts, or would be aware of teams like the Tampa Bay Mutiny and the Miami Fusion, who ended up folding just a few years into the league. We got about 2 minutes before we head to break here, Yanish. Touch on that. Do you think MLS owes more to the people that were there from the beginning?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, historically, maybe you're right in the terms of reminding maybe people who was there before, because, you know, this generation of people probably doesn't remember people like us all that much. I think in terms of owing, you have, you know, and I don't want to be boring on your show and just agree with you, but you know, as I've mentioned, a lot of those players are in position of either coaching or in the front office, right? You know, Frankie Yallop, remember that Tampa Bay, because you mentioned Carlos Valderrama. I mean, they're all over the place right now. So, if you look at the coaching staffs on all the teams, you know, there's just number. Sorber comes to mind again, another player that's in, you know, Philadelphia, and Robin Fraser. They're everywhere, and Vanny in Toronto. So I think those former players have gotten the opportunities, and it's up to them to take it. So I think in that respect, you know, the league hasn't been exclusive. It's not like they've prevented, you know, Peter Vermees, you know, how could I forget about my old teammate on the national team? So they've been there. I suppose it would be nice, and maybe it happens, I'm not aware of it, but, you know, from time to time to have, like, you know, the old-timers play a little bit and maybe bring that to the forefront every so often, you know, just for the younger generation to remember that there's been people before them. And, you know, we're speaking of ourselves, and I suppose there's people even before my generation that we should be aware of, right? I mean, you know, the league started in 1996, but, you know, when I came on the team in 1990, Nate, let's not forget, you know, Bob Gansler's team, you know, really were the first sort of trailblazer, you know, making in Italy. Of course, I'm not talking about the teams in the 50s, but so So it would be nice maybe that every so often MLS acknowledges some of the people from the past, and I'm not so sure what's the best way of doing that.
We'll see how Don Garber responds to these questions. Also, shout out to all of you Cleveland Force, Louisville Thunder, Canton Invaders, and Atlanta Attack supporters. That's right. Shout out to the MISL, John Ishmahalik, and yours truly, Nate Abarea. Back after this, World Soccer Talk Radio on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're talking dual nationality players of the national team and some Steven Gerrard when we get back right here, World Soccer Talk Radio. Stay tuned. Hey there, sports fans. If you're sick and tired of paying over $100 a month for your cable or satellite bill only to watch a handful of channels, we've got something for you. It's called Sling TV. With the Sling TV app, you can watch your favorite programs on your smart TV, computer, smartphone, tablet, or Roku for as little as $20 a month. You can cancel your cable or satellite subscription and get tons of sports channels with Sling TV, including ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, and the SEC Network. Plus, you can watch live and on-demand entertainment such as AMC with The Walking Dead and Mad Men, Epix Movie Channels, TBS, TNT, Adult Swim, the Disney Channel for the kids, and many, many more. With Sling TV, there's no commitment, no annual contract, and no satellite dish needed. And best of all, you get a 7-day free trial. Sign up for the 7-day free trial today at slingmytv.com. Again, that's slingmytv.com. If you are at least 18 years of age and you want to get an associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree, free help is available from the National Education Online Center. Whether you're interested in an online or on-campus learning format, the National Education Online Center can introduce you to the opportunities that will secure your financial future. Help is available for students searching for affordable, accredited educational programs for degrees in business, criminal justice, education, or technology. To get started on the road to furthering your education and earning your college degree, call toll-free 1-855-502-6245. Academic advisors are standing by to help you enroll in programs today. Take control of your future by calling toll-free 1-855-502-6245. If you are a soccer fan, the best way to watch the greatest players in the world, including Messi, Ronaldo, Neymar, Raul, and Zlatan, is on Dish World's exclusive broadcast of BN Sports and One World Sports. Dish World is the number one live international TV service in the U.S. It's a safe and legal streaming service that delivers your favorite sports and more to your TV, tablet, phone, and computer in HD. With a free 48-hour trial to Dish World, you can watch La Liga, Serie A, Copa America, as well as the New York Cosmos, Chelsea TV, and Arsenal TV. With the top networks offered by Dish World, there's no commitment, no annual contract, and no satellite dish needed. Don't miss the best leagues in the world on Dish World. Sign up today for a free 48-hour trial at soccerondish.com. No credit card is required. Sign up today at soccerondish.com. World Soccer Talk Radio is back on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Call us 1-800-878-PLAY. That is 878-7529. Tweet us at World Soccer Talk and at Sports Byline USA. Get a hold of me on the Twitter sphere at Nate WST. Again, that is at Nate WST. Huge thank you to Dish World, Sling TV, and the National Education Online Center for their support of this program. John Ishmahalik is our guest of ESPN, former U.S. national team player. And John, let's get into some U.S. national team discussion. You, of course, originally born in Poland and became an American citizen in the early 90s, and that was your catapult to get into the U.S. national team system. And I want to talk with you about dual nationality players, which is something there's an increasing dialogue going on right now ever since the Klinsmann administration, shall we call it, took over back in 2011. You go back to, you go in the history books, you go back to 1950, you go back to the miracle on turf, whatever you want to call it, when USA beat England and Brazil 1-0 back in 1950, and that team was made up entirely of immigrant players. And you go in to even into the early 90s, and you looked at how important dual nationality players were. And for me growing up, the addition of Preki was one that I will never forget. And it's something that really was a foundation of American soccer for a long time. And what happened, it was so bizarre, because you had these stages of development really grow, and American soccer development just grew so much into the late 90s and early 2000s. And what ended up happening, at least in my opinion, was so much focus was put on that homegrown development that there was kind of a lack of focus shown to making sure that dual nationality players chose to play for the USA. Obviously, Giuseppe Rossi comes to the minds of so many people. And ever since Klinsmann took over, we've seen that be one of his main focal points, actually, whether it's Mexican-American players, German-American players, so many others. And I'm curious to get your take on that as far as the importance of dual nationality players in the American system, and what Klinsmann has really put forward here in recent years. And he's getting a lot of flack for it recently, and that's something that is very, very interesting. Do you think Jurgen Klinsmann is doing the right thing as far as the amount of focus that he has shown to these dual nationality players?
No. Well, look, I mean, you know, I don't want to come out as a hypocrite. I'll explain that a little bit later, because as you've mentioned, that's how I came in. For me to think, first of all, it can be a choice, and yes, if there are players out there that are good enough, they should be here. The question is, are they good enough? And the other question is it a choice? Are they as patriotic as they need to be? And I question that, because we're combing the world for these young players, and, you know, of course, you take a certain amount of risk you know, when you do that, and you don't know how that pans out. You can't put that just on a coach, because ultimately time tells. But, you know, we've pretty much begged Timmy Chandler to be on our team on a number of occasions where he wasn't sure, he didn't want to, and all of a sudden he's here. As you see it here, you know, I look at him, I commentate Bundesliga for, you know, on ESPN. I see him week in and week out. Nice guy, good player, but, you know, not spectacular. Not, you know, I can't imagine that, you know, we don't have players here in this country like that, or players outside of this country that are better. So maybe that's a process. Maybe it needs to take time. But obviously, you know, it seems to me that he's going to be the one going forward. So I hope he starts playing much, much better, because, you know, I wouldn't go out of my way to necessarily do that, to be honest. Fabian Johnson is similar to me. Yes, he's been a little bit better. He's at Gladbach. I watch him play. He's surrounded by very, very good players, and he fits in. I don't see him there doing anything special one way or the other. You know, that doesn't mean that he's not good. That's not what I'm saying. But again, I don't see him as a special player. Julian Green, of course, was young, and it was a risk that so far is not paying off. And who knows, you know, maybe because we did put so much pressure on this young man, right? And you know, I suppose to some degree, maybe we as a country, Jurgen Klinsmann has to take responsibility for that. We threw him in the deep end. You know, he scored a goal, and now he's struggling to play at Hamburg, who is desperate. I mean, this is a team that barely staved off a relegation last year. Again, Hamburg is the only team in the history of Bundesliga that's never been relegated. They're at it again, and they're not looking good in the process, and he can't play there. Now, he's young. It's not that easy. It wasn't going to be easy for him at Bayern Munich. He was never going to make it there, nor he will make it, but that's not a slide. This is Bayern Munich. But, you know, probably throwing him into a team like Hamburg is, you know, it's quite the opposite, but the pressures are the same to some degree, aren't they, right? I mean, you're desperate and you're trying to stay in, and, you know, when you do that, right, you don't rely on 17, 18, 19-year-old kids to save you. So I feel for him a little bit. But again, there are question marks, of course. Now we seem to be doing this with Gideon Zalalem. You know, again, we'll see. all these players seem to me have a choice. I don't know them, you know, personally. So it's, you know, it's just an opinion, of course, and I could be very wrong on that one. But I just don't get the feeling where I feel they love, you know, the country enough that they really at all costs want to play here. You know, I often hear the possibilities can play for Germany, can play for England, can play for this, that, can also play for U.S. and that bothers me. And you know, this is the place where I know I'm not a hypocrite. You know, I came here, I left a very good and promising career coming in here for, you know, to play in indoor soccer. There was no leagues. I took a huge risk, and in fact, you know, every time I have a conversation when I'm back in Europe, is, you know, the first question is, do you wish that you were still back there? I don't know what my career would have been, you know, who knows, but I took a risk. I stayed here with a green card like you're supposed to for 5 years. You know, that wasn't, you know, I wasn't trying to get my papers to play for the national team. I became a citizen just like anybody else. And then an opportunity came, you know what I mean? A little bit of luck here or there. But, you know, and here we're going through this process to naturalize these players, which is okay. Again, I'm not against it. But what I'm saying here is that, you know, these players have to be good. You have to be absolutely sure with some of these players that there isn't anything better in this country. And I often don't think that's the case. I think that we're jumping too quickly. And I understand Klinsmann. And by the way, I'll tell you, I mean, I get him when he says, you know, that at times Europe is more competitive, because it is. I mean, I like, you know, the game here. I like Major League Soccer. I like NASL. I think they're very good. They're making unbelievable strides. And they're much closer than some people give them credit to. But that environment at times is better. But it's better for players that play all the time, and players that are somewhat proven. I mean, for me, you have to be a proven player to come here and be in the discussion for the national team. I get that, you know, you're betting on the future in some of those cases, and I'm okay with that. But there are other players that are getting looked at all the time that it just makes you wonder and say, really, do we really have to go out of our way? And then we kind of look at the results, and they're, you know, indifferent, to be kind, right? If I was to be kind. You know, you don't see that, you know, speaking of progress, you don't see that progress. I mean, again, generations, I'm not trying to defend mine, but since 1994, I don't think that this team is that much better than the teams we've had in the past. You know, take away what happened in, what was it, 96? You know, we had that little bit of a blip, and look, that probably will never happen again. It's just one of those things. Steve Sampson tried his best. The team should have done much better than it did, but it didn't. But you look at the 2002 team. I mean, you know, this team that we have right now is nowhere near that. Nowhere near that.
Well, and that's something, that's a really interesting point, Yonish, and that's something I want to talk with you about. And I asked you to start the show, is MLS really that much better now than it was in the early days? I don't think it is. A lot of people like to throw up the smoke screen and talk about the progress. And I could ask you the same question about the U.S. national team, of is the U.S. national team really better than it was in the 1990s? And this is something where, look, I defend Jurgen Klinsmann quite a bit when it comes to all the flack that he gets from the real pro MLS crowd. But this is an area where Jurgen, he, for lack of a better way to put it, offends me a little bit when he talks about, oh, well, you know, it's the stage of development that we're in American soccer. And, you know, oh, and a round of 16 performance, you know, oh, it's a fantastic showing to have just even gotten out of the group that we were placed in. Oh, it was just outstanding. And considering where we are development-wise in the grand scheme of things for American soccer, and part of me goes, are you kidding me? Do you want to open up a history book and see what this team did in 1994, what this team did in 2002, what we did even before you were hired in 2010, where that team had the draw of the lucky draw of a lifetime, in my opinion. And if you beat, you're not going to have Ghana and Uruguay being the pathway to the semifinals of the World Cup. You're never going to be handed a lucky card like that again. Unfortunately, Bob Bradley's boys couldn't pull it through. But we got about a minute and a half before we had to break here again, Yonish, and just touch on that. Is Jurgen, I mean, is it offensive in some ways when you hear what Klinsmann says, that, oh, well, you know, I think we're at a fine stage of development. I mean, is he naive? Is he ignorant? Or is he just playing his own level of mind games to save his own ass?
Yeah, I think he is. And look, I you know, like, who am I not to give him, you know, time, you know, and some credit, I suppose, you know, if it pans out and we have a result in the next World Cup, where he's going to be an experienced manager by now in our system, then we'll give him credit for that, right? I mean, you have to wait and you have to give him that benefit of the doubt. But again, I will argue that the players that are being selected, and I look at some of the team, you know, let's just look at this 2000, and, you know, I'll go through it because it's important. You know, do we have a player like Ernie Stewart? Even Joe Max Moore, if you remember. I mean, in terms of creativity, pace, between those two, right? Do we have a Claudio Reyna? I doubt it. Do we even have a Kobe Jones with his pace and defending? I mean, the range of play that he had. Yeah, maybe, you know, Kobe probably wasn't the most clean technically, but he was, what he did for the team was absolutely incredible. I mean,
Janusz, let's get back into this when we get back from break here on World Soccer Talk Radio here on the Sports Byline Network. Dade Abaria with Janusz Mihalik of ESPN, talking dual nationality players, U.S. national team, all sorts of good stuff. And we will, as promised, get into Steven Gerrard on the other side of this break. Stay tuned.
With the Citi Double Cash Card, I earn cash back when I buy new running shoes. And when I pay for them, I earn cash back again.
I earn cash back when I buy a new TV for the game. And when I pay for it, I earn cash back again. Go, go, yeah!
The Citi Double Cash Card earns you cash back twice. 1% when you buy,
and 1% as you pay.
With two ways to earn,
it makes a lot of other cards seem
one-sided.
Apply now at citi.com/doublecash.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-499-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-499-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $24.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-499-MYTV. That's 877-499-MYTV.
Cancel the cable. Cut costs and get more.
Call now. 877-499-MYTV. That's 877-499-MYTV.
Health insurance is on everybody's mind right now. You either don't have it, or you have it and you think it's too expensive. And you probably feel like you don't have any options. We can help. We are the Health Markets Insurance Agency. We offer health insurance plans from major carriers nationwide and likely have a plan that can save you money. Whether you're self-employed, on a COBRA plan that's about to expire, or you simply don't have health insurance where you work and you need it, the Health Markets Insurance Agency can help you. Our agents will help you find coverage you can afford. Health Markets Insurance Agency is an authorized agency in all 50 states, including the District of Columbia. Plans may not be available in all states. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242.
We know what it's like, that persistent nagging feeling that will only go away when you get away. For those with a passion for travel, there's the new Discover It Miles card. You earn unlimited 1.5 miles for every dollar you spend, and you can fly any airline anytime with no blackout dates. Just buy your ticket and use miles to credit your statement. Apply now and Discover will double your miles at the end of your first year. So go on, scratch that travel itch. Get the new Discover It Miles card today. Limitations apply. Learn more at discover.com/miles.
World Soccer Talk Radio is with you live. My name is Nate Abaria, and I've got a question for you, the soccer listener. Which network in the U.S. is the only one that has exclusive TV rights to La Liga, Serie A, and Ligue 1? If you answered BN Sports, pat yourself on the back. However, there's a problem. Most people who live in the U.S., they don't have access to BN Sports on their cable or satellite. The solution is Dish World, which allows you to watch the soccer games live and on demand that you want to watch in high definition on your computer, smartphone, Roku, or tablet. Price is just $10 a month. But for you lucky World Soccer Talk radio listeners, you get a free 48-hour trial. That's right, a free 48-hour trial when you go to soccerondish.com. No credit card required. Sign up today, soccerondish.com. We are joined by Janusz Michalek, and we have dived deep into some U.S. national team discussions. We've talked about Jurgen Klinsmann. We've talked about the 20th anniversary of Major League Soccer. Does MLS really respect its own history? Do they owe more to the folks who were there from the beginning in the trenches back in the late 90s? Is Jurgen Klinsmann naive or ignorant when he says things about the stage of American soccer development? We've talked all about dual nationality players. So it's time now to hop across the pond and head on over not only to England, but to a city that is near and dear to my heart, a city that I have spent quite a bit of time in back in my formidable years. That is, of course, Liverpool. We're heading to Merseyside. And Janusz, you're someone who's shown a bit of a liking for Liverpool Football Club over the years. And one Steven Gerrard, he is on his way out of Liverpool. He's going to be heading to the Los Angeles Galaxy. That's right, to the soft sandy beaches of Southern California. That is where Stevie G is going to be heading for an 18-month contract come July. I don't even want to get into that aspect because yours truly growing up a San Jose Clash and Earthquake supporter. So this one irks me quite a bit, seeing Stevie G go to, of all places, the LA Galaxy. Let's focus, Janusz, strictly on Gerrard in a Liverpool shirt. And I penned an article recently entitled Slip, Flick, and Stamp, The Painful Plummet of Steven Gerrard. And you go back to the slip game on April 27th of 2014 against Chelsea when Demba Ba snatched the ball and raced the other way. You look at the flick to Luis Suarez that essentially knocked England out of the World Cup. And then recently the stamp on Ander Herrera in the Man United match, the 38-second performance from Steven Gerrard in his final game against Manchester United. And this has been a heated debate going on among, and this actually transitions perfectly from a lot of the U.S. national team stuff we've been talking about as far as the principle of history compared to, you call it short-sightedness, present moment living. But a lot of people are saying that, wow, this has really damaged the credibility of the career of one of the greatest players in Liverpool history, the way the last 11 months or so have gone. And I just want to ask you, first off, put it in simple terms, how are you going to remember Steven Gerrard in a Liverpool shirt, Janusz Michalek?
You know, I mean, yeah, nonsense, what you mentioned before. Look, I mean, we're probably the worst two to be on the show right now because we are very biased. You know, I've been a Liverpool supporter since, I don't know, maybe 5-6 years old. You know, I try to hide it because you know how it is. People go
crazy.
We could say the best two
on this show.
Right. But so, you know, with a certain amount of bias, but bias that I don't think many will question, at least the people that really know the game and really paid attention, because, you know, last few mistakes, you know, they're going to get magnified. Once he announced, you know, that he was leaving, people are looking for these mistakes. In the past, some of them, you know, I'm not saying the slip, but, you know, some of them would, people wouldn't even notice, right? I mean, just, you know, what he's done. I was in Istanbul, you know, with ESPN. We covered that game. Of course, you know, you remember that, of course, what happened, and there were many, many magnificent moments in his career. He was a one-man club, which is something that doesn't happen anymore, probably will never happen again, really. You know, I can't think of another player. You know, the two that stand out in my mind recently, of course, was Maldini and now Gerrard. So, you know, I mean, the word legend is not enough, I think, in my opinion, or at least it's a word that's overused, but certainly not in a case, or not in his case. Wonderful, wonderful player. As I said, he exposed himself to that once he announced that he was leaving. And you know, I don't think anybody's looking at that. You know, you look at that slip as well. I mean, you know, the Crystal Palace game was even worse, wasn't it? To a degree, I mean, they've had their chances, is what I'm saying. So it's easy to look at that. It's convenient for many, right? If you're looking for a hole in the wall, you can always find it, I suppose. But, you know, I'm not going to be doing that with Gerrard, because what he's done for Liverpool is great. You know, it's just unfortunate that he'll never win the Premier League title.
Well, Janusz, I know neither of us are psychology majors, but I just have to ask you this. It's something that a lot of people bring up. Do you think he ever, Steven Gerrard, ever mentally recovered from the slip on April 27th, 2014 against Chelsea, the slip that in many ways cost Liverpool their chance at their only Premier League title in Steven Gerrard's career? Do you think he ever mentally recovered from that?
Absolutely. The truth of the matter is that you don't last at a club like Liverpool this long. You're not the captain. You don't win that many trophies, and you don't have many memorable moments if you look in the past, right? You know, the next play is always most important. And although, of course, you know, when brought up or when he thinks back, he's going to think of it, and he's not going to have fond memories of that. But I don't think that affects a player as strong mentally as he has been, as he has, you know, he's had to be, really, to be the captain of England, to be the captain of Liverpool. I mean, with their media pressure and everything else, you know what I mean? It's just one of many. So without knowing for sure, of course, I've never asked him that, I would have to imagine that he got past it. He knows that that's the nature of the beast. And, you know, this year again, I mean, for long periods of time, I know he's been injured and all that, but he's been very important at times. He's been asked to play a position that doesn't suit him, right? And he continued to play with that. And we forget about that. He's never felt comfortable there, of course, but he had to play. And when you play in a position that's not necessarily comfortable for you, you're going to make mistakes, and you're going to make some rookie mistakes, and others will look at it from the standpoint, such an experienced player, how can he make those mistakes? Well, it does happen if you're taken out of your comfort zone to such degree this late in your career, and you're asked to do a job. And I think he's done a job in that position on a number of occasions, and there were others where, of course, in that position, his legs wouldn't take him as far as they need to, because it is a difficult position, especially for a player like him, and you know him well, you know, that kind of is tempted to go forward, and it does go forward, and, you know, all of a sudden 90 minutes in a high-paced league like Premier League, it's not all that easy. So, but I would have to imagine, if I had to take a guess, that, yeah, it's probably not on his mind as much as everyone else thinks.
Well, if you take a historical view at Steven Gerrard, you get away from the short-sightedness, and it's so easy to be short-sighted in the hyperactive media age that we live in. Steven Gerrard will go down along the likes of Kenny Dalglish, Ian Rush, Graham Souness, as far as skill and scouse memories. Steven Gerrard is one of the all-time greats for Liverpool Football Club. You talk about loyalty, and you go back to the 60s, and players like Ian St. John and the original Bill Shankly Reds back in the early and mid-60s and into the early 70s and transitioning to the Paisley era. I mean, Steven Gerrard is as if you took a player out of that era and placed him into modern football, and that's something that should not go unnoticed or unmentioned. And I'm very glad that you brought that up, Janusz, as far as club man.
Nate, his legacy there at Liverpool cannot be questioned. Anyone in the right mind would never, ever even think about that. You know, so there's no question about that. What a player he's been. You look at his demeanor. You look at, you know, what he's done on and off the pitch. And it just cannot be questioned. It's as simple as that.
Well, and a lot of people thinking that the legacy has in some ways had a dent put in it by the last year. And I keep telling people, and I wrote this in the article the other day, this season's still got 2 months left. I know he's got the 3-match ban that he's facing as a result of the stamp, but Liverpool could potentially be in the FA Cup final at Wembley. You talk about an opportunity for a swan song and for just some divine Gerrard magic. I mean, it didn't get any better than Gerrard in the FA Cup final in Cardiff back in 2006. Against West Ham. Who knows if 9 years later he can replicate something like that. But I keep telling people that throw that out there of, oh, the tragic dent that's been put into the legacy over the last year. Hey, we still got a couple of months left of Stevie G in a red shirt. So let's see how this one plays out. And I got to ask you, Janusz, top four in England right now after the Man United match, the debacle that was the 2-1 defeat against United, Liverpool 4 points off the top four. Man City kind of in this strange slump. I don't know if you can call it a slump. They're still winning matches, but they're not really playing all that well. And let's put it to you like this. Can Liverpool still finish in the top four in this league, or do you see United holding out in that fourth spot?
It's difficult. I mean, first and foremost, let's even not look at this far. I mean, we'll know everything this weekend, won't we, right? I mean, look, they pretty much have to win it. I mean, not losing at the very least, but, you know, against Arsenal, everything's going to be decided. It is unfortunate what happened against Manchester United because, for me, you know, they could have lost other games even a couple weeks earlier, but you couldn't lose this one because it is Manchester United. We all know what that means. It is the biggest rivalry, you know, Liverpool against Manchester United, bigger than, of course, a Liverpool derby, and not in that manner. You know, you can't lose it by being totally pretty much outplayed for sure in the first half, a little bit different in the second half, but it was too little too late, I think, in my opinion. So as I often say, it's you know, it's not how many you lose, it's when you lose that is important, because then you look ahead. I think United have Villa this weekend, don't they? They will win that, and they're obviously coming into form right now. You know, we can talk about Louis van Gaal, what he didn't do right, and there's many things that he didn't do right, but the bottom line is he kept the team there or thereabout, hasn't he, right? And eventually, good players will find a way, with or without the coach, and this is what's happening right now. You can tell. They just have too many good players. By default, those Manchester United players are going to start clicking. And you knew that it was going to happen, and it seems to be happening right now at an important time. And you look at Liverpool, and you got a feel for them because, I mean, look at the run they've had since the last loss against Manchester United, of course, and it's incredible. I mean, they're top of the league in terms of performance since that loss or since the new year. But, you know, all that matters is that one key game against direct opponent that's right above you, and unfortunately you can't lose at home to Manchester United, and certainly you couldn't lose in the way that Liverpool have lost that game. Psychologically, that will play a part. And again, if there's any hope, and I think it's very slim, to be honest with you, even if they were to win it, but they must beat Arsenal in London this weekend. And that's going to be a tall task, not an impossible one. With a draw, you know, that's more point loss, unfortunately. A loss absolutely eliminates them. But even with a win, as I said, if I had to be honest, and it's painful for both of us, I just don't see, I think that opportunity has gone in the match against Manchester United.
Well, hey, we like to get nostalgic on this show, and if there is a fixture that brings back any more memories, I don't think there really is one than Liverpool Arsenal. My father, an Arsenal supporter, you go back to the famous match at Anfield, the title decider back in 1989 that spawned the book Fever Pitch. You go back to the 2001 FA Cup final. You go back to even back into the 1960s, 64 and 65. So many great Liverpool-Arsenal matches over the years. We'll see if April the 4th lives up to the predecessing hype. Liverpool-Arsenal, the first fixture of this upcoming Premier League weekend. Janusz Michalik, thank you so much for joining us here on World Soccer Talk Radio. Thank you so much, and you're welcome back anytime, sir.
Oh, I'd love to come on. This was outstanding. Thank you very much, Nate, for having me.
Absolutely. And what do you know, Jerry Burke's coming through in the clutch. A little You'll Never Walk Alone as we head to break. When we get back, we're closing this thing down, taking this train home, letting you know who's going to win the Champions League. What's up with English clubs in Europe? And we're going to pose a couple of American soccer questions to you, the listener, to get at us on Twitter regarding the greatest player in Major League Soccer history and the greatest American to ever play in the Premier League. Nate Abareo, World Soccer Talk Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back after this. Stay tuned.
Do you know which investment has tripled in price since the debt crisis and risen an average 20% a year for 11 years? It's not stocks, not bonds. It's silver. And right now, we at Lear Capital believe silver is poised to hit new record highs. And we're making it easier to own than ever. For a limited time, new customers with $5,000 or more to invest in gold or silver can get up to 10 certified Morgan Silver Dollars absolutely free. That's right, up to 10 100-year-old Morgan Silver Dollars when you invest $5,000 or more. A $600 value free. This offer is available for IRA accounts as well.
Call right now, 800-631-9229. 800-631-9229. 800-631-9229. Call Lear Capital now, 800-631-9229.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help, and your insurance may offer coverage.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-521-3214. 800-521-3214.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-521-3214. 800-521-3214.
Are you an inventor who would like to try to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to companies? But you don't know what to do next? Call for free information from InventHelp. InventHelp, a leading inventor service company, has been helping inventors since 1984 and has sales offices located in more than 60 cities nationwide. You'll want to talk to the company that has helped secure more than 7,000 invention patents. So call InventHelp. Even if you have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll still want to call InventHelp for free information. You'll find out how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to companies. So call now.
Call InventHelp at 1-800-316-1738. That's 1-800-316-1738. Get your free information by dialing 1-800-316-1738. That's 1-800-316-1738. It's 1-800-316-1738.
World Soccer Talk Radio on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Huge thank you to Janusz Michalik of ESPN, former U.S. national team soccer player, for joining us here on the second edition of World Soccer Talk Radio. Tweet us your thoughts on the show at World Soccer Talk and at Sports Byline USA, and get a hold of me with your love mail, your hate mail, and all that stuff that you got to get off of your soccer chest at Nate WST. Closing it out with a little bold prediction. Top four. Janusz said it's going to be challenging for Liverpool to make it. I'm saying Liverpool defeat Arsenal this Saturday, and Liverpool somehow, some way, pull off the ultimate miracle and finish in fourth place. I'm not saying who's going to drop out of the top four. It could be either of the Manchester sides. That's right, Carter Krishnayer, if you're listening. I still think Man City could find a little slump in them. We've seen what Man City could do with just a few games left in a Premier League season. We'll see what they can do, perhaps in a negative fashion here this year. What a just absolutely abysmal title defense from Pellegrini's gang over there at the Etihad. I'm saying Barcelona win the UEFA Champions League. I did not throw out a prediction yesterday. Kardik said Barcelona. I got to go with him. What's the deal with English clubs in Europe? Tweet us your thoughts on what the deal is with English clubs in Europe this season. And last two things that I want to pose to you, the listener. Let me know at Nate WST. Who is the greatest player in Major League Soccer history? We talk about the 20th anniversary and all that good stuff. I vote for Dwayne De Rosario. That's right, a personal favorite. Dwayne De Rosario. Who is, in your opinion, the greatest player in Major League Soccer history? And who's the greatest American to ever play in the Premier League? Get at me, at Nate WST and at World Soccer Talk. We will do this show every weeknight from 6 to 7 Pacific time. My name is Nate Aberea. Huge thank you to the gaffer, Christopher Harris of WorldSoccerTalk.com, for putting this thing on. My engineer, Jerry Burks. We will talk tomorrow night. Until then, take care. Have a great rest of your evening. Cheers.